You have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28. I want to look at a couple places and also turn to Revelation chapter 1 and keep your finger there. We're going to look at both places for just a moment. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was as lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. And the Bible says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like snow, as white as wool, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have keys of hell and of death." What a Savior that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We appreciate the Lord today. Amen. I want to preach just a little while this morning. It's got to be my help. On this thought, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? As we look here in Matthew, the Bible tells us that it was the day of the resurrection. It was that promised day of the Lord, the day that He promised that He would get up. And He said, when I get up, I'll get out. Praise God. He said, hey, coming today, I've got to go to a cross. Praise God. Hey, as we've already sung about this morning, a Savior that went to the cross of Calvary and laid down His life for me and you. And as He came into, the Bible says, as they came to this sepulchre where they laid Him, they found a stone had rolled away, and that the tomb was empty, and the angel of the Lord, praise God, was there as a witness to them, a witness from God. He said, hey, listen, that one that you seek, the one Jesus that was crucified, said, he's not here, for he's risen. How was he risen? He was risen just as he said. I want to praise God this morning and say, I believe the Lord Jesus. I believe what he said. I believe he is who he said he was. And I believe he's risen today. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high for me. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Praise God, you believe you're serving a risen. Hey, I ain't serving somebody that's over in a tomb. I ain't serving a pile of bones. I'm serving a Savior that got up, praise God, on that third and appointed day. As we begin to see what's taking place here, I want to ask the question, do you believe Jesus? I mean, we must believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe in the power of the resurrection. We must believe that He's hung on the cross, that He shed His blood, and that on that third an appointed day, and he got up, praise God, victorious. The Bible said they went to the sepulchre and on the Sabbath, and said when they got there, they was a wondering upon themselves how they was going to roll away that great stone. They was trying to figure, say, who's we going? Hey, who are we going to get to roll away the stone? But when they got there, praise God, the stone had done rolled away. A mighty earth, God had sent a mighty earthquake to shake the ground, and the stone has rolled away. Praise God. Not so he could get out, so that they could see in, praise God, to see where the Savior had lain. And they found, the Bible says that in another place, that they found his clothes lying there in that tomb. Amen. Those grave clothes that was wound about him, they were lying there. And they said they found that napkin that was about his head. Amen. That's that napkin that had been there, praise God. And it wasn't just strode off to the side, but said it was folded up neatly where his head had been. And it was laid there as a sign and a symbol of the tradition of that day. When you'd go to eat, if you had to get up from the table for a few moments, you take your napkin. And it's the same today, by the way. If you take your napkin and you fold it neatly where you're sitting in a restaurant, the waiter is supposed to leave your plate alone because that napkin folded neatly is telling them that you'll be back. If you're finished, you wad it up and you throw it in your plate and they'll know you're finished. But praise God, when them disciples got there and they looked into that tomb, that borrowed tomb, amen, just needed it for a few days. They seen that napkin folded in its place and they realized, hey, glory God, according to their tradition, the Master's coming back. He's not finished. Amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord this morning. He's coming back. Praise God. He said, well, preacher, I believe I told him. He said, when he's on the cross, and it's finished. Amen. Hey, the work is finished. The work of redemption is finished. The price has been paid. But the work of the Lord ain't done, praise God, till we're in the presence of the Lord. Amen. There's a better day coming. The Bible says they seen that he was gone. The angels told him, said, he's not here, for he's risen. Amen. He said, hey, what you need to do? He said, you go quickly and you tell the disciples that he's risen. And so tell them they can go into Galilee and they can see him. Amen. Got to go just a little ways out and they can see. Hey, I want to say, praise God, we just got to go just a little ways farther, youngins, and we'll see him. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking for the glorious day of his appearing when I see him as he is. Amen. And the Bible says that they departed quickly from the sepulchre, verse 8, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. But now notice what happened in the journey. It says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. Amen. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Amen. They met the Savior on the road, praise God. And he says, oh, what joy it is to see you. Amen. It's good to see you, praise God. I know you come to seek me, and you found me. Amen. Ain't it a good thing to know, praise God, when you get to seeking Jesus, praise God, he's not hard to find, especially when you seek him early. Hey, you young people, listen, just seek Jesus early while he may be found. Amen. Now's the day to seek Jesus. Now's the day to get involved. Now's the day to sell out for the Lord and make him your Lord and your Savior. Amen. The Bible goes on over to Revelation chapter 1. And it talks about that same Savior. The Bible says in Acts that he ascended up on high. Amen. And that angels came to him again, two angels, and they said, hey, listen, this same Jesus that you've seen, that he's coming back the same way you've seen him, he's coming back. Amen. Remember that folded napkin? Amen. Remember that folded napkin? Praise God. He's not finished yet. Amen. It's not going to be finished till we're in the presence of the Lord. But the Bible says here, and he said John was on the Isle of Patmos. Now you picture this in your mind. Jesus has came. He's been nailed to that old cross of Calvary, crude cross. He was nailed there for me and you. Amen. Took on our sins. And the Bible said he was nailed to that cruel cross of Calvary. But he's not like some religion would have you to believe. He's not still hanging on the cross. He came off the cross and he went into a borrowed tomb. But he was only there for 3 days because that's all he needed to fulfill the scriptures. And on that third and appointed day, the first day of the week. Amen. That's why we celebrate. That's why we have church on Sundays. Amen. We celebrate the Lord's Day. Amen. That's why we don't celebrate the Sabbath no more. That was the Old Testament. But praise God, now we celebrate on the Lord's Day. We worship on the Lord's Day. Amen. People say that, well, I've heard people say, well, I don't understand why we worship on Sunday because it's the first day of the week. Have you ever looked at the calendar? First day of the week is on Sunday. The last day of the week is on Saturday. Yeah. Amen? So we worship the Lord on Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Jesus got up, according to the New Testament. Praise the Lord. In Revelation, we see that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's ascended up on high. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. To make intercession for me and you. And in Revelation, John sees this picture, this vision. Amen. And oh, what a vision it was. Well, I wish we could see a vision. I wish people, God's people, could have a vision one more time. And we could see God on high, amen. See Him high and lifted up to that lofty place that He desires to be. Hearts and minds of His people. Said he seen a, he turned, he heard a voice and he turned his head to see who was speaking. You know, the Bible says John's the one that said that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And they hear me. And they follow me. Amen. John was the one that pinned that down. No, who better, praise God, to be a looking into a vision and hear a voice and say, I know that voice. Amen. And he said he turned to see the voice that spake with me and had been turned. I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He said, that looked just like Jesus to me. Amen. He said, when I looked around, it said, that man in the midst of the gold candlestick, he said, it looked just like the Savior, praise God. He said, I recognized Him. Wonder how he recognized Him. He said, one like the Son of Man clothed the garment down to his foot and girt about the path with a golden girdle. And look at the majesty, the dignity, the eternity of this man that he's seen. He said, his head and his hairs were white like wool. His as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, piercing. His feet like unto fine brass, and as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He was unique. I want to say, praise God, this man Jesus is unique. This man Jesus, praise God, he's not like everybody else. He's different. He said, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. He said there was a radiant glow of praise God that was a reflecting off the Lord Jesus Christ. Now can you see this picture I'm trying to paint? For I'm trying to get somewhere. Can you see this picture of Jesus magnified and glorified one more time? Amen. Jesus said, hey, he said, Father, would you glorify me again? He said, I will. He said, I have. He said, and I will glorify thee. Amen. He said, I'm going to let you shine forth, praise God, throughout all eternity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm glad He's shining it. How do you know? Because He's shining in my heart. Amen. Amen. There's a brilliant light, praise God, that's exploding in my soul, even this morning. And John, the sight of Him was just too much for John. Well, if we ever get our eyes fixed on the Lord and we ever see Him, the Bible said in John verse 17, said, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me. Now can you imagine, as John said, praise God, it was just too much for me. He said, I just fell down as dead. Amen. He said, I just fell down dead. I'm not talking about being slain in the Spirit. Amen. I'm talking about a reverent awe of a holy and a righteous God. Praise the Lord. You ever just have a reverent awe, praise God, and the Holy Ghost God just comes all over you? Amen. I mean, I'm talking about from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Praise God, He's just a presence of the Lord. Amen. Boy, I would to God that you'd get a hold of that. Amen. That's something that you'll never get over. Amen. If you ever get it once, you'll want it again. Amen. That's that feeling of the Spirit, that constant relationship and growing in a relationship to the Lord. You begin to get stronger in your faith. You begin to grow. That's that sanctification. That's that setting aside of self and getting closer to Jesus. Becoming more like Him. So the Bible tells us about this man, Jesus, and said he puts his hand on his right shoulder. You see that as John's laying there prostrate before the Lord. Amen. In a worshipful mode. Amen. And he puts his hand on, he says, fear not. Amen. Ain't you glad, praise God, for the times that the Lord just reaches down, puts his hand on, he says, hey, you don't have to be afraid. It's going to be all right. How many times in our life, praise God, does the Lord Jesus come along and He puts His hand on us? You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Hey, listen, I know about that. I've seen him, praise God. I've seen him down with, reach down with that mighty hand of healing, that mighty hand of strength, that mighty hand of power, praise God, and touch and heal and let and just love on us as only he could do. I've seen his power. Now notice what the Bible says. He says, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Now listen to what he says here. Jesus said, I, the first and the last, and the living one. Amen. He said, hey, listen, that's who I am. He said, I'm the first. He said, I was in the beginning. He said, I was the beginning. And he said, I not only am I the first, he said, but I'm also the last. Amen. He said, hey, I'm the first. I was in the beginning. And he said, I'm going to be the last man standing. He said, praise God. He said, I've overcome the obstacles. I've overcome the trials and the convictions. Praise God, I've overcome it all. He said, I'm going to be the last one standing. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because he says, because I'm the living one. Amen. He said, I'm the one that has life and has it abundant and have it to give. Ain't you glad today? Praise God. That there's a God of glory that's not selfish with his giving. But he gives life to whosoever will. Amen. What a blessed Savior we have. He said he was that living one. Amen. He said, I am the first and the last. And said, I am he that liveth. The living one. The true and living God. Amen. He's not dead. But he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Now he's talking about a voluntary death. Amen. Did you know that Jesus died? Now, got a picture. Jesus died a voluntary death. They didn't take his life from him. Amen. The Bible says he laid down his life. Amen. So he died a voluntary. Now, me and you can't do that. Amen. Me and you don't. We die. But we die because we have to. Amen. We don't volunteer. But we die because we can't help it. Amen. We die because we can't help it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, he said, it is appointed a man once to die. Now listen, I don't care how young you are this morning. Praise God, if the Lord tarries, he's coming, we're all going to go by way of the grave. You're going to grow up, you're going to get old, you're going to wrinkle up, you're going to draw up, and you're going to die. You say, well, preacher, you're being morbid. No, I'm just being honest. Amen. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He says, but we're one of these days, praise God, we're going to grow up, we're going to mature, we're going to finish out our days, we're going to finish our course, and we're going to die. We don't have no choice. Amen. We don't have no say-so in the matter. But I want to say, praise God, Jesus had a say-so in the matter. Amen. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 19, I believe it is. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Now listen to this part I like. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. Hey, he said, ain't nobody killed Jesus. Amen. The whole world crucified him. The whole world was saying, crucify him, crucify him, put him to death. The whole world today said, crucify him, crucify him, put him to death. But praise God, I want to say, there's nobody can kill Jesus. He laid it down of his own free will. He willed to die, praise God. He laid down his life. For me and you. He laid it down. They didn't have to wrestle him down on that cross. They didn't have to hold him down and tie him down so they could pound him three old rusty spike nails into his hands. He carried that old cruel cross all the way to Mount Calvary. He laid that thing down there, and he laid down on that old cross. He stretched out them arms from infinity to infinity. Praise God for me and you. And he, glory to God, and he constructed a bridge so that we go from sin to salvation. Praise God, on the cross of Calvary, as Mary and John and the disciples, praise God, stood by and watched them soldiers, a representation of me and you, praise God, as they drove them old rusty spot nails into his hands and his feet, and they hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and drove them home into the precious Lamb of God, pinned him to that old cross on Calvary. He laid down his life for me and you voluntarily. Amen. He said, "And I am he that liveth and was dead." Know what he's saying? He said, that's that work of the Father that I had to finish. He said, Jesus was saying, I had to become dead. Amen. The work that I sent to do with the Father, he said, I had to become dead. I had to become death. I had to partake of myself death. Amen. So that we don't have to. You said, well, preacher, you done said, praise God, we're all going to grow up, we're going to grow up, we're going to get old, and we're going to die. You know, these old bodies will cease to exist. But I want to say this morning, by the grace of God, if we're a born-again child of God, if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made, praise God, our soul will never die. Amen. That inward part of me, that inner part of you, that soul, that spirit, praise God, that part that moves and breathes and has its being, praise God, will do, one day will lose its life's breath here and catch the next one in glory, the presence of the Lord. Amen. We have that assurance this morning. I'm going to show you in a minute. So we see, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. That voluntary death that he died, that he became death because that was the work. But I want to say, praise God, that cross was not the end. Amen. See, that cross was on the beginning, only the very beginning, because he said, the Father said, I have a commandment, said from the Father, that I have the power to lay down my life. And he said, I have the power to take it up again. Amen. See, me and you, we die and we don't have that power. You say, well, preacher, Jesus is the only one that's ever been resurrected. You say, well, preacher, that's not so. They was at that widow's son that they brought back from the dead. And he lived again. They was at widow's son that died over in them. And they said, hey, Rosie, he got up when they touched the bar. He got up. And what about Lazarus, preacher? He was dead 4 days dead. To where he began to stink, and he got up. Yes, they did. That's very true. Every one of them got up. But praise God, they would live and die again. But I want to say, praise be to God, that my Lord and Savior Jesus, he got up on that first Easter morning, praise God, victorious, and he's never going to die again. Amen. And because he lives, praise God, we live too. We live in him if we put our faith in him. You know, that seems so simple, doesn't it? So simple, a little child could attain to it. But he said that's what it was. He said it's not some high and lofty thing up here that we can't attain to. He said just believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And he becomes that price of sin for you and for me. See, the cross was not the end. The cross was only beginning. Amen. See, they thought that, they thought that cross would finish him. Well, couldn't you just imagine the devil's glee when they hung him on that cross? They nailed those spikes and, praise God, they stood him up and they dropped him in that hole. Boom. And Jesus shuddered all over as it quivered his body. Amen. And he hung upon that cross. Amen. Hung up there for a pretty good while. You know, they was doing a program over at Mount Sheba this weekend. They had a live scene you could drive through and see the crucifixion and the resurrection. Friday night and Saturday night, you could drive through and see it as they portrayed it. And they were doing a test on it. The fellow that was standing upon the cross, that was hanging on the cross, that was portraying Jesus. Before they started, they done a time thing to see how long he could hang there. And the most that he could hang there was 31 minutes. After 31 minutes, he began to lose the sensation. He began to have trouble breathing. I mean, him not nailed there, praise God, just standing there. 31 minutes, he began to, to be in anguish and had to come down off of there. Amen. That's what they're telling me. 31 minutes is as long as he could stay. But Jesus hung on the cross till he decided it was finished. Amen. He could have called, the Bible says he could have called 10 legions of angels. Amen. He could have called 144,000 angels. Praise God. That would have been his. That were standing in attention waiting for the beck and call. Seeing the suffering Savior. Yeah. Oh, how it broke their hearts. They were waiting if he would have called. If he had said, oh, come get me. If you'd said, please, angels, come help me. It would have been all over. Probably earth. As it, we know it would have ceased to exist. Amen. But Jesus hung on that cross in that agony. Amen. Till it was finished. It was a time of darkness for 3 hours. For 3 hours. You know why? Because the sting of death was on our Savior. Boys, I think of Paul if he writes that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me show you something this morning. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Help us see how real you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 54, the Bible says, so when this is corrupt, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what happened as he hung on there in that dark time from the noon to the 3 o'clock p.m. Praise God, the sun was darkened and Jesus hung upon the cross. Father turned his back because he couldn't look upon sin. And you can see, hey, listen to me this morning, you young people, as you hung there on the cross, the sting of death, it's just like bees, they were coming to him. A zap, a sting, a sting, a sting for you, for me, past, present, future generations. He hung and endured those stings of death as they intruded upon his body, and he took those stings for me and you.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Sting after sting after sting as they raptured his body, penetrating, penetrating, penetrating our precious Lamb and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He took all those stings. Those stings of death upon himself so that we could go free. Amen. The Bible says that he said, hey, listen, he said that they took him off of that cross. He endured all them stings. He endured all the death so that we don't have to die. And they took him off that cross, and the Bible said, you know the story, Joseph of Arimathea come and begged the body from Pilate, wrapped him in linen clothes, and they laid him in that borrowed tomb. Amen. And then the reinforcement came. They said, oh, Pilate said, this fellow, the Savior said, he said, hey, after 3 days, he's going to get up. We got to seal him up so his first arrow won't be worse than the last. Amen. And he said, okay. He said, make it as sure as you can. And the Bible says they reinforced that thing. They rolled a stone, amen, in front of that thing. A big old stone that it took several men to roll. And they sealed it, they put it there, and then they took a seal and they sealed it off. Make sure nobody could get in. And then they posted the soldiers. They had the stone, they had the seal, they had the soldiers. They make it sure that Jesus wouldn't get up. They made it sure, they're making it sure that he couldn't come out. Amen. But the Bible says on that third and appointed morning, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. The Bible says that death had a hold of him. Amen. That death had him in that tomb. That death had him bound up. Praise God. And he couldn't get out. The grave. But the Bible says that the grave, he was not holding to it because he had no sin. Amen. Did you realize that Jesus is the only perfect man that ever lived? He was the only man that never had sin in his life. He was perfect. He said, behold, I am alive forevermore. Now I want you to notice something right here. So death has a hold of him. Death's got him bound up, and death's got him in, and he thinks he's got him in his prison. I mean, they've made it as sure as they can. Amen. It kind of reminds me. You ever hear the old Greek mythology of the Sphinx? The Sphinx said it's supposed to be part man and part beast. And the story goes that that the Sphinx was there and it was in the way of man. And that the Sphinx would stand there and it would offer up a mystery. And the only way that man could get by the Sphinx to go on his journey, to go on in life, praise God, is to answer the mystery. To solve the puzzle. And man would come along and the Sphinx was there and the Sphinx would ask or offer up the riddle. And man had to answer. He had to come up with the answer to get through. And man after man come along and tried to deal with the Sphinx. This God, this Greek God, this Greek myth. And they would try to get through. And the myth says that every time they tried to get through, they couldn't answer the riddle and they would perish. But the mythology says that one day the Sphinx was there and he offered up the riddle. And said there was one man. Said there was one man come along. He offered up the riddle and said the man looked at the Sphinx in his old evil face and he said, "Hey, I know the answer." And he offered up an answer to the mystery. He said, "What was it?" "It doesn't matter." He had the answer. One man had the answer. And with it, he destroyed and dissolved the myth of the Sphinx. I want to say, praise God, the grave had the Lord Jesus Christ in its bosom. The grave had him fast. Death had hold of him. But praise God, there was one man had an answer to the mystery. There was one man, praise God, that had the key. Amen. Glory be to God. The Bible said, he said, "I am alive forevermore." Amen. And had the keys of hell and of death. He said, hey, there was one man. Death had been grabbing folks and dragging them off into the pit. Death is still grabbing folks and dragging them off into the pit. But praise God, the Bible said that one day there was a man called Christ Jesus. He came along and he had an answer to the puzzle. He had an answer to the mystery. He had an answer to the riddle. He said, "I've got the keys." Did you say the devil ever have them? No. Jesus said, "I've got the keys to death and hell." He said, "What's he said?" He said, "I've unlocked the mystery." Amen. He said, "I've solved the puzzle." He said, "I've answered the riddle." Amen. What does that mean to me and you? It means that he's the authority. He's got the key. See, the one that's in charge gets the keys. Amen. You ever notice that? Where you work at, if you ain't in charge, you don't get a key. Amen. But Jesus said, "Hey, listen." He said, "I know what death is. I figured out the mystery. I know the riddle." Amen. He said, "I felt the stings. I went through it. I know what it is." But he said, "I've overcome it." He said, "I've got the keys to death and to hell." Amen. He said, "I've got the authority over."